Okay, let's start again. We're now going to cover the agenda consultation in a series of papers. Neely, are you going to kick it off, or?
Actually, our first paper will be kicked off by Wen Yi.
Wendy, okay. Wenyi.
Yep, okay.
Please go ahead, Wenyi.
Yep, thank you, Hans. Good morning, everyone. The board undertake a public consultation on its activities and work plan every 5 years. As part of that consultation, the board published a request for information. Agenda paper 24 sets out the overall approach that we are taking to develop the request for information for the 2020 agenda consultation. The primary objective of this consultation are to seek feedback on three things. Firstly, on the strategic direction and balance of the board's activities. Secondly, on the criteria for assessing the financial reporting issues that could be added. And finally, on the financial reporting issues that the board should give priority. The consultation focuses on seeking feedback on those areas within current scope of the board's work. That is financial statement for profit-oriented statement entities and management commentary. We expect to publish the request for information in March 2021. With a view to publishing the feedback statement and the board's work plans for the 2022 to 2026 periods in Q1 2022. It also worth highlighting the trustee structures and efficiency review, which is different from the board's agenda consultation, as described in paragraph 5-6 of the paper. As part of their review, the trustee published a consultation paper in September on the needs for global sustainability standard. We will continue to monitor trustee's review and consider any implication for the board's agenda consultation. With that overview, the purpose of today's session is to obtain your views on our proposed approach to developing the request for information for the three areas that the agenda consultation would seek feedback on. We have prepared four papers for that discussion. We will tee up each paper, pausing for board's discussion before moving on to the next paper. So before we move on to agenda paper 24A, does the board have any comments or questions on the overall approach to the 2020 agenda consultation?
Okay, is anybody... Does anybody want to pose a question? That doesn't seem to be the case, Wenyi. So I hand over to Aishat.
Yes, Hans, thank you. And good morning, everyone. So turning to agenda paper 24A. One of the objectives of an agenda consultation is to gather input on the strategic direction and balance of the board's activities. So with that in mind, Agenda Paper 24A discusses our proposed approach to categorizing and describing the board's activities in the request for information. We suggest that the board's activities should be categorized into six different activities. This is broken down into, firstly, activities to develop IFRS standards and major amendments to IFRS standards. And this first category also includes post-implementation reviews. Secondly, activities to maintain IFRS standards and support their consistent application. Thirdly, activities to maintain and develop the IFRS for SME standard. And the fourth being activities to maintain and develop the IFRS taxonomy. The last two activities are cross-cutting activities on understandability and accessibility of the standards and on stakeholder engagement. Paragraphs 6 to 13 of the paper provide a summary of each of these six activities. During outreach that we performed, some stakeholders suggested that to help them comment on the balance of the board's activities, the request for information should include information about how the board currently allocates resources to each of its activities. So for the reasons that we describe in paragraph 16 to 18 of the paper, we agree that such information would be useful to stakeholders. Therefore, we suggest that in describing the board's activities, the request for information should provide an estimate of how much of the board's resources is currently allocated to each activity. In addition, we think the request for information should describe the scope for increases in the current level of focus on each activity. So with that overview, we're not asking for the board to make decisions on this paper, but we do have three questions for you. Firstly, do you have any comments on how we've categorized the board's activities as summarized in paragraph 4? Secondly, do you have any comments on our proposed approach to describing those activities as summarized in paragraph 19? And finally, do you have any other comments on how the request for information should seek feedback on the strategic direction and balance of the board's activities? So I'll now turn it over to the board.
I open the floor. Well, it must have been all crystal clear because I don't see anybody who wishes to make a comment.
Could I comment, please?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
It's Anne on the phone.
Hi, Anne. Yeah.
Hi, Hans. So question one about the categorizing of the activities. You've put the post-implementation reviews into item A, so 4A1, the development of new standards and major amendments to IFRS standards. I just wondered about whether it's better to put them in 2, which is about maintaining the standards and supporting their consistent application, because I don't think we go into PIRs with the expectation that there will be major amendments. Historically, that hasn't yet happened. It could happen, but it hasn't. And I know you're going to, at some point, think about the resourcing in each of the quadrants. And some stakeholders have said, could you please focus more on maintenance and consistent application and less on creating new standards? And if you allocate the PIRs, which we said in the previous session are going to take considerable resources, if you allocate them into the red quadrant, that is 4A1, then that actually makes it look like we're doing a lot of standard setting, which I don't think that the PIR actually belongs there, and it could send the wrong message to stakeholders who have said, could you spend more on the second quadrant, the blue one? So my suggestion would be to put the PIRs in 4A2, not in 4A1. Thanks, Hans.
Françoise, thank you, Anne.
Yes, thank you, Hans. In fact, I have, don't know whether it's a comment or a question. And that relates to what we say about activities fostering understandability of standards. First of all, I welcome that this is highlighted as proposed. But if I were an external stakeholder, I would have difficulties giving priority to this because I wouldn't know really what it would entail. In terms of understandability, we mentioned quality control reviews. I mean, I guess everybody would expect that those quality control reviews exist already. So to best respond to what the staff outlines in paragraph 11 and what we heard in our reputation survey and also what we heard through outreach, I guess people may expect that we undertake a different approach or that we allocate resources in order, when there is an opportunity to do so, to improve the understandability of existing requirements. Or eventually that we want to allocate some resources to know and to engage with us, our external stakeholders, on how we could achieve a better understandability. So I'm afraid that if the item is described as it is, that in fact
people won't really know what to do with it, because in fact there is not much concrete that is offered to be prioritized. Thank you.
Okay. Mary?
thank you. I was focused, it's a comment that suggests adding to the description of stakeholder engagement as described currently in paragraphs 12 and 13. The description in paragraph 12 focuses on the objective of promoting global acceptance of I4S standards, and I agree that's one of the things it accomplishes. But I feel that stakeholder engagement accomplishes so much more. It supports the, going back to the wheel, the maintenance and consistent application of standards, for example, and it also is integral to supporting new IFRS standards and major amendments to IFRS standards. I think it's not wrong. I think it's just incomplete. So I would encourage in the description of activities expanding that discussion. I also, I'm kicking myself for not having thought about the point that Anne raised, and I think it's a really good one. So and encourage the staff to think about that. Thank you.
Okay, Bruce.
Thanks, Hans. Interesting. I was also going to comment and agree with Anne on the comment on the PIR, so I'd support that. But the main comment I want to make was just around what we're talking about in paragraph 14. I don't know if it's a concern or an agreement or disagreement, but there we talk about this whole talking about including the board's current allocation of resources to each activity. I guess I would be concerned as to how that was going to come across, because what would worry me is that we're going to get people focusing on our resource allocation and not necessarily on what the projects are we should be doing. So I guess it's just more maybe a comment to the staff. I'll be interested to see how we actually achieve that, because my worry is that it could be a level of detail that I think could kind of dissuade from the whole point of having the agenda consultation, you know, making sure that we understand what people want us to prioritize on. And then we're starting to get people into the operations of how we're going to allocate those resources. So I'd just be a little bit concerned that we're going to kind of get too much into the detail of how we actually operate on the other side.
Françoise, did you want to come back in or?
No, thank you. It was because you had not seen me.
Okay. All right. Okay. I think we can move on to the next paper then, Ashraf.
Yes, thank you. So moving on to agenda paper 24B, which is on the criteria for assessing projects to be added to the work plan. Again, this is one of the objectives of an agenda consultation to seek input on what criteria the board will use to assess projects coming out of the agenda consultation. So for the reasons described in paragraph 7, we think the request for information should identify the 7 criteria identified in paragraphs 5 to 6 as those the board will use to assess the priority of any new projects suggested by respondents to the request for information. In addition, for the reasons described in paragraphs 8 to 9 of the paper, we think the request for information should explain that assessing the priority of projects to be added to the work plan is really a matter of judgment, and the relative importance of any particular criterion is likely to vary depending on the particular circumstances. Finally, in light of the analysis in paragraphs 11 to 13 of the paper, we plan to note in the request for information that while the agenda consultation remains the primary consideration for determining the board's work plan and priorities, the board will also take into consideration the work streams of other major standard setters. So with that overview, we're not asking the board to make any decisions on this paper, but we do have 2 questions for the board. Firstly, do you have any comments or questions on the proposed 7 criteria to seek feedback on? And secondly, do you have any other comments on how the request for information should describe the proposed criteria? So I'll turn it over to the board.
Anne?
Thanks, Hans. Looking at those criteria, I know you tell us in the paper that they've been used and been quite effective. I wondered if we should think about making the criteria, if we can give some priority around the criteria. If we did that, would that make the process easier for the stakeholders and for ourselves? So what I was thinking about, the way in the conceptual framework, we have two fundamental criteria, and then we have some other criteria as well that help us, the enhancing criteria, that help us understand the qualitative criteria. Because when I look at 5 and 6, it's really about the impact of the problem. A lot of 5 is about the impact. So one of the criteria is, you know, the impact of the problem, which could cover pervasiveness as well, the importance, the deficiency, the extensiveness, all of those things. And then maybe a second one is the effort to resolve the problem. But my point is, I just wonder whether we should consider prioritising what's in 5 and 6 rather than just putting them all up and saying, consider these various things. Thanks, Hans.
Okay. Tadeo.
Thank you, Hans. It's just a quick comment here. Thank you to staff for preparing this paper. It's just whether the timing or the urgence of a project could also be a criterion. I don't know whether it is embedded in one of these principles, but I think that sometimes there are some issues, as we had for the IBOR, have a right time to do it, and then might be a criterion as well. Thank you.
Tom?
Oh, sorry, it took me a second to get the mic. I have a quick question. I just want to make sure I'm reading these correctly in 5 and 6, just a comment from the staff. So item 5C, it talks about the matter is more prevalent, so it's sort of in the present tense, where D talks about how pervasive or acute a particular financial reporting issue is likely to be for entities. So it sounds like that's forward-looking to me. I just want to make sure I'm reading this right, and it is our intention in using these criteria to look at both the present and the future. That was a question.
Yes, that's correct. That's our intention to look at both. Yes.
Okay. No further questions. So please continue, Aishat.
All right. So moving on to agenda paper 24C, the last of the objectives of an agenda consultation is to gather input on the financial reporting issues that should be given priority. So with that in mind, agenda paper 24C discusses whether the request for information should seek input on the reprioritization of the board's current projects. Starting first with the current work plan projects. So these are the active research projects, the standard setting projects, and the maintenance projects in Appendix A of the paper. For the reasons described in paragraph 7 to 9, we recommend that the request for information should not specifically ask stakeholders to reprioritize those projects. In particular, we note that the board is making progress on almost all of these projects and will have made even further progress by March 2021 when the request for information will be published. Moving on to the research pipeline and other projects in paragraph 12 of the paper. These are projects that the board has not started work on and is unlikely that work will be started by March 2021. So for the reasons described in paragraph 14 of the paper, we recommend that the request for information should ask stakeholders to comment on and, if necessary, reprioritize these projects. So I'll now turn it over to the board to discuss and vote on the question for the board, which asks whether the board agrees with our staff recommendation as summarized in paragraph 15 of the paper.
Are there any questions, comments? Mary.
Thanks, Hans. Aisha, I agree with the staff recommendation, but I wanted to put a addition to it. And sorry, I'm speaking specifically about the recommendation that we not ask stakeholders to give input on reprioritizing our existing work program. I agree that that should not be a, you know, throw that one open. And I agree with the presumption that we should be working on managing the finalization of work on those projects. However, I think it could be helpful to include a comment that is almost, if exceptionally you are you, somebody responding to the RFI, think that it is important to prioritize a new project over the ones that we are working on currently, then please explain why and identify what you would, what you might remove or make inactive on our current work plan. So I agree with you. This is not a time to say, please give us input on redoing priorities of everything we're working on. But I think it might be helpful to say to people, if you want to say that this is higher priority than anything we're working on now, then give us more specifics about what you would deprioritize. So I just ask the staff to think about that, if there's a way of accomplishing that.
Zach?
Yeah, further along the lines of what Mary just said, that was certainly the section that got my attention as well. And I was wondering if any thought had either been given to identifying work plan projects that were further along versus ones that were less begun or were identified for being at a later date, because they seemed far more in line with the group that we were asking for input on. So I guess I would put that question to you. I do think leaving an open-ended space for where stakeholders think projects, even ones that are currently underway, may need to be deprioritized in exchange for other priorities moving up is important here.
Nick?
Thanks. On the same issue, I'd actually support where the staff are on this, and not to ask stakeholders to reprioritize. I think, we have a number of projects which are late stage, where we are in touch with stakeholders already. There's clearly a lot of sunk investment in those projects. I think it's highly unlikely that we would change direction or terminate one of those projects. Equally, I can think of some early stage projects, again, where we're very close to gathering information from stakeholders. If there were a way along the lines that Mary suggested to appropriately word a question, we could consider that. I think the way Mary expressed it was really just a similar way of asking about reprioritization, is the way I took it to be. But there clearly will be, I assume, an other section. Do you have any other comments in the RFI? And perhaps that's the best way people can express those issues. But I certainly stand behind what the staff recommend here.
Okay. Tadeo?
Just to say that I agree with Nick. I think that the point is that some of these projects here, are just starting in now. Some other bigger projects might have priority relation to them, but these are projects that are already some time in the agenda. I mean, that we have to move on with some important projects and other not so important projects, but it's important for some of our stakeholders. That I think that I agree in not asking the stakeholders to reprioritize the board's current plan. Thank you.
Okay, can I see who supports the staff's recommendation?
Anne?
Yes.
13.
All right.
Thank you.
Then we go, I believe, to the final paper on this issue. Rafael?
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Agenda paper 24D. As you remember, at September 2019 meeting, the board expressed support for conducting outreach to identify potential projects that should be described in the request for information. The board's objective in describing potential projects is to provide stakeholders and the board with a common understanding of the issues that could be addressed in a potential project as this approach will elicit more focused feedback on the agenda consultation. We have now completed that outreach, and agenda paper 24D summarizes what we heard during the outreach and includes a list of potential projects that we plan to describe in the RFI. As explained in paragraph 3 of the paper, the thing to bear in mind is that the list of potential projects that will be described in the RFI is not intended to be exhaustive, nor does it represent a draft work plan for the board. Based on the outreach, we propose to describe only those projects that are within the current scope of the board's work and were most commonly raised by stakeholders during the outreach, as they would likely be raised in the agenda consultation. These projects are listed in paragraph 18. The remaining projects raised are listed in Appendix A to the paper. We propose to list them in an appendix to the RFI without descriptions. There are 4 questions for the board on page 8. I would like to take questions 1 to 3 first and then address question 4. In questions 1 to 3, we ask whether the board members have any comments or questions on the outreach performed, any comments on how the feedback received during the outreach should be reflected in the RFI, and any comments or questions on the list of potential projects to be described in the RFI. I will now hand over to the board.
François.
Yes, thank you, Hans, and thank you for the papers. I'm supportive of what we have in this paper, but I'm worried that there is a big, I mean, not a big, but that there is a project that is just not mentioned at all, and that I think should be a part of this list. I'm talking about the standard level review of disclosures. We're about to issue an exposure draft, which is our targeted standard level review. We have developed that, developed a possible new approach to setting disclosure requirements. And we've done that in response to requests received in both past agenda consultations in 11 to 15. And also in response to the comments we received on the principles of disclosures discussion paper. I certainly think that within our exposure draft, there is room for including a question on as to whether, given this approach and eventually as modified by the comments of constituents, we should move ahead and in what order. But I certainly think that even if that question was raised in the exposed draft, which is not yet agreed, I understand, the minimum should be that we ask people what priorities this type of improvements to our disclosure requirements should have going forward. So I would be very worried if that that item was not explicitly mentioned as a potential as potential projects that the board would undertake.
Okay, Mary.
A more general comment, Raphael. I just want to, at the risk of making a statement of the obvious, I think it will be very helpful for us to have feedback based on an explicit list of potential projects. I agree that there are risks associated with putting that in, as you've noted in the paper, but I think overall, it will improve the comparability of feedback we get and make us much more able to digest the information we get. So I just wanted to express quite strong support for the approach that you're proposing in this paper overall. I do have a couple of minor wording suggestions that I will, which I will send to you offline rather than doing here.
Tadeo?
Thank you, Hans. In paragraph 15B, we say that the accounting requirements for micro entities is outside the current scope of the board's work. Currently, the ISB has a guidance on micro-sized entities that was developed based on the IFRS for SME standards. We have been having many outreaches on the comprehensive review of IFRS for SMEs, the RFI document. And I'm just wondering whether the update of this guidance could be considered as a maintenance project of this standard. I mean, that it's not exactly outside the scope of the board's work, but within the concept of IFRS for SMEs, the update of this guidance. Thank you.
Anne, please.
Thanks, Hans. My question or my comment related to paragraph 20 B, where you said it'll be necessary as part of this for each project, there'll be an estimate of the indicative size of the potential project. So my comment was what I expressed. I'd like to express my concern about arriving at that, how difficult it's going to be to do that. But just also to flag, I think you do have to have a try. I think you do have to endeavour to do that so that people can proceed with this idea of prioritising things. And I don't know whether staff have given thought yet to how they will approach this, but I think it's a difficult thing to try and determine the size of projects. Thank you.
Tom?
Yeah, I have a comment. First of all, a good paper. I particularly liked Appendix B. I thought it was instructive with the example. With respect, the criterion in choosing among the 30, first of all, I totally agree with the three that are opted out. The criteria that for choosing among the 30 is basically the number of people who identified it. And that's good. I think it's a good primary criterion. I was a bit concerned that the paper doesn't tell us about the reasons advanced for suggesting the ones that have been put into the appendix. It is possible that a very small number of people might identify a very important topic, and the reasons they advanced for why they thought it was important, I think, should influence how we treat the item. So I'm a bit concerned about, without knowing specific details, and I think simply providing the topic name, when I look at those topics, there's a lot of places I could go as to what the major concern might be. So if we are to relegate those ones to an appendix, I would like at least a very brief 3 to 4 line explanation of what the problem that was identified is. And that way, at least, because otherwise a user who just has a topic, they could look a long time before they'd figure out what the problem was. This way, if you at least give them the problem in 2 or 3 lines, they can then say, oh, I'd like to think about that, or I don't see that as a problem. Anyway, so that's my comment.
Thank you, Tom. Hold on. Yeah, thank you, Tom. So I believe these are all the comments from the board. Rafael, you wanted to take question 4 separately, right?
Yes, that's correct. Paragraphs 20 to 22, thank you. Paragraphs 20 to 22 describe the approach we are planning to take to describing each of the potential projects listed in paragraph 18. When developing descriptions of potential projects, the staff will try to strike a balance between providing enough information for stakeholders to understand the issue and the need to keep the description concise. Consequently, the length of the description and the amount of detail included will vary between potential projects. Appendix B includes an example description of one potential project, intangible assets. This project was most frequently mentioned by stakeholders during the outreach, and several different possible approaches to the project were suggested. Consequently, we think that this project description is likely to be one of the longest and most detailed in the RFI. At this stage, we are not looking for detailed drafting comments or comment on technical aspects of an intangibles project. I'm happy to discuss them offline. Instead, we're asking for your comments on the content and level of detail in the proposed description. And I will hand over to the board.
Does anybody wish to comment? Tom? Or you were just adjusting your camera?
Oh, no, sorry. And actually, my previous comments apropos, so I have nothing else. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Françoise.
Yes, I think these explanations are really valuable and helpful to make the consultation effective, because it's important that people react with an understanding of what an item really is.
Okay, thank you, Françoise. Nick?
Yeah, and in a similar vein, and I understand this particular example is likely to be one of the longer examples we have, and I imagine most of them will be contained to one page. But I really appreciated the language that was used in this example. I think it was accessible to all our stakeholder groups, and I think clearly in this type of RFI, that's what we should be aiming to do. So well done.
All right. I think we have come to the end of our deliberations on this topic. Thank you very much. We are a bit ahead of time now. I propose that we meet again in 45 minutes and have some lunch or dinner or wherever you are. Okay. Thank you. See you at 12:45 Greenwich time.